Dow. Miguel Noguera is our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley and Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, August 24th. Tom Falco and Kevin Griffin will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, beginning at 1. Easy Street will be at the Bayard Cutting Arboretum, Great River, beginning at 2. Twister will be at Navy Beach in Montauk, 5 p.m. Gene Casey and the Loan Sharks will be at Gosman's Dock in Montauk, 6 p.m. County Line will be at the Stony Brook Village Center at 7. Poor Old Shine will be at the Mercury Lounge, Manhattan, 7 p.m. On your concert billboard for Monday, August 25th, Vivian and the Merrymakers will be on the green in Montauk, 6 p.m. John Paris will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, 8 p.m. The Mary Lamont Band will be at the Jones Beach Band Shell in Wantagh, beginning at 8. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, August 26th, Union Jazz will be at the Bayshore Band Shell, beginning 12:30. Next Level will be at the Dublin Deck in Patchogue, 6 p.m. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, live at Winterland. This is a film brought to you by the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village, 7:30. Black & Sparrow will be at the Stephen Talkhouse in Amagansett at 8. Looking ahead to Wednesday, August 27th, Pat Wichter will be at Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson, beginning at 6:30.
Listen to Down Home Country with Mary Lamont and Debbie DeWaltoff every Sunday, 11:30 a.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. It's 6:01 p.m. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. It's 6:02 p.m. Time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. You speaking to me or to the audience?
I'm speaking to everyone here.
Well, I'm not part of the audience. I'm here in the studio. I'm not even listening.
Okay, well, I'll say hello to you as well.
What's up?
Not much. Not much. Can you hear me?
It's the first time we've talked to each other today.
Yeah.
Well, I hear you because you're only a few feet away from me.
Right.
I can hear you through these headphones, too.
Okay. Yep, they're coming through. Well, that's the first thing you check. And everything seems to be on track.
Amazing, isn't it? I'm actually going to adjust my levels a little bit on this tape deck.
Mm. Well, you're listening to Off the Wall.
Actually, I'm not sure how many people are still listening, but if you stuck around while we do our levels and things like that, congratulations, you are still listening to Off the Wall. We'll check in another 5 minutes, see if you're still around.
I'm your host, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. This is Emmanuel. I'm sitting by the guest microphone.
I'm joined tonight by Emmanuel, who is sitting by the guest microphone.
And I'm sorry for introducing myself. I guess that's not in my... in my role. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be introduced. See, it's relaxing to be the guest, but it's also, you have to remember certain things and not step over the line. And I doubt this will be addressed in the post-show meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. I'll remember this.
It will be remembered as so. You know, all I have tonight...
As the host, you're supposed to have material, too, you know.
I have a manual for equipment. This is...
Oh, yeah, we're trying to fix equipment around here.
This is how community radio works, and I'm currently going through a manual for some equipment that we have here at the station, and do my levels seem really low?
They do seem really low.
Am I looking at the right instrumentation?
They seem pretty low. I think you need to go up a bit more. Make yourself a little louder.
This isn't ordinarily the thing.
Talking,
did they change something? Did we
no,
fix
you're,
something?
You're just talking rather low today.
Am I talking low?
Have you noticed that I've had to ask you to repeat yourself about 4 times per sentence today?
Well,
we were talking to each other before the show, so I just gave that away.
We acknowledged each other before the show.
Yeah, but there were some words spoken, some
right,
unfortunate
right.
words and some mundane words.
Yeah.
But I do notice that one of the VUs there, if I may use a technical term, is much hotter than the other. You see that? When I spoke up there, yeah, and I think there's nothing we can do about that.
So we're back to normal.
I mean, I know how to fix that, but if I fix that, I'm going to break something else.
Wow. Is it because I touched something?
Those of you who listen to us only in the right channel, you might have some trouble today because I think we're predominantly left.
We're predominantly left today. But
well, you're not. No.
I'm not. No, I'm fine.
It's only me. I'm only in the left. Is that some sort of a comment?
Could you hit that?
Am I too leftish?
Think maybe
what?
Jiggle the...
Hit the microphone? Yeah. You want me to hit the microphone to fix the levels? Is this what it's come to? Fine.
Well, just...
No, with
I'm just saying the signal might improve if it jostled. If it was to jostle from the climate in here, yes.
All right.
Okay, that works. Yeah, great.
Did it work? No, it didn't work. I'm still on the left only.
What is going on? Should I jiggle something?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, try it on the board. If you do that, yeah, that might work. Oh, wait, I think you might have had something there. Yeah.
Oh, no, your mic was in mono.
Well, it's supposed to be in mono. Okay, but no, I think you had it. It's that black switch, yeah. Just mess with that a little bit. Okay, yeah, okay, I think that's as good as it's going to get.
Oh, wow, you know, it is, if I hold it, I think you're there.
See, there's no way for us to... Okay,
yeah.
It's fine now.
I'm
as long as you
it.
Hold it with your hand. That means you're down to one hand tonight. We can't test this unless we're on the air. And you're not holding it as tight because look at my levels. I just went down again.
I can't hold this switch the whole show.
Then obviously a career in radio is not for you. All right. Community radio, folks. Yeah, this is... Wait, why is it community radio when things break and college radio when we're... When we're broadcasting football and all that, and in our glory days, no, it's radio that needs support big time.
Is it working now?
Yeah, it's working great now. Okay. Because, what, you put a paper clip in it?
I might have altered
Thank
it.
Thank God we paid the paper clip bill.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I'm glad we have office supplies.
All right, yes. On to the show.
Yes, because the show is here.
We do have things to talk about.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I have things to talk about? Okay. Well, what I'm going to mention, of course, is that I'm only going to mention this for a couple of minutes because it's important, but we have to get through it. Another game's coming up this Saturday. Yes, as we told you, we warned you. We are following the FA Cup in England, and we picked a team all the way at the bottom in the extra preliminary round. Unfortunately, they lost 10-0, and they're out. So we now are fans of the team that beat them. As we move into the preliminary round. So the extra preliminary round is done. A team from level 10 has been kicked out. Now we're up to a team from level 9 that beat them. They're called Coleshill Town.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be playing a team called Bromsgrove Sporting. And they're also a level 10 team. So Coleshill Town, a level 9 team, will be playing a level 10 team. And I think they're going to kick some ass over there on Saturday. So we're looking forward to that. That's in the preliminary round of the FA Cup. Now, after the preliminary round, there's the first round qualifying, the second round qualifying, the third round qualifying, the fourth round qualifying, and then the cup actually begins. The teams that you might have heard of start to take an interest and begin playing whoever is left at that point, and that's when it starts to get interesting. But we thought it'd be fun to follow the teams from the very, very bottom and see who works their way up, and hey, maybe Coleshill Town will be the one. They're in second place in the Midland League Premier Division, and if they keep that up throughout the entire season, they could move up to another league, which would be awesome. Nunnington Griff, the team that we were following last time, lost 10-0. They're not doing so well. In fact, they were playing a game last night. I followed their Twitter, and I was watching. And they really—it's kind of adorable. They're always supportive of their players, and no matter what, it's always fun. And that's what it should be. That's what a game should be. Of course, it is a game for them. They're not getting paid for it, but they wound up losing because one of the players kicked the ball into their own goal. It's called an own goal.
Own goal.
And I saw the tweet saying that 2-1 to the other team on an own goal, but what an own goal it was. Apparently, they kicked the ball into their own goal, but it was spectacular the way they did it. Now, you won't get that kind of sportsmanship from from a real professional team or a national team or anything like that. So that's what makes it fun, but it'll get less and less fun as it moves up to the top.
Very cool.
Yeah, so Coleshill Town playing Bromsgrove Sporting. Look for that on ESPN 32 or whatever channel might be covering it. I don't think any channel is covering this at all. But we are. It's alternative sports here on WUSB.
And there are many alternatives to sports out there, and that's what we aim to do.
But there are alternatives in sports. We were watching Euronews last night.
Okay.
Which, by the way, folks, if you are in Cablevision land, channel 103, watch Euronews, best channel in the world.
It is. It's a great channel.
Well, not really. The best channel in the world is Classic Arts Showcase. You watch that channel, Kyle?
Yes, I do. Frequently.
Channel 165 on cable. I'm not advertising Cablevision. It's just that we happen to be in Cablevision land. And that channel just plays all of these old arts films from the silent era up until the modern era.
Yes.
Anything from ballet to opera. We saw a marching band last night from Iowa. Just all kinds of things, clips from films. It's the most amazing. You can just have this on for hours and hours. They never have commercials. And what they do is they play an 8-hour segment 3 times a day, and then once a week they change that 8-hour segment. So you're guaranteed you're going to see all kinds of interesting things. That's Classic Arts Showcase. It's like one of these nonprofit organizations that doesn't ask you for money. It's so cool. So cool. And I don't know why everybody doesn't get that channel. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool to aggregate all of the variety there is in art. And sometimes when the news is kind of, well, grisly and just a lot of the same things, you need to break up your media landscape with some art and some interesting things from history that might, instruct your days and make things pleasant.
It's good. We had that on during the Ferguson incidents quite a bit because, we were also watching what was going on in Ferguson, but it's nice to get away from it and not have to be constantly hammered with distressing news.
This isn't to say you'd have your head in the sand, as is said. I mean, this is all stuff that you follow. But when you do follow these things, you can get kind of weighed down by it, and the coverage, and keeping up. And you realize that people need to heal.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely. But you know what? We went off on a tangent because I was starting to talk about what I saw on Euronews, Channel 103.
Uh-huh.
And that you were talking about alternatives to sports or alternative sports.
Yes.
They were showing us the highlights from a World Judo Championship. And, you know, if you watch the sports on Channel 2, on Channel 4, on Channel 5,
okay,
on Channel 7, on Channel 9, or on Channel 11, or out here on Channel 55... Or if you watch Spanish sports on Channel 41 and Channel 47, you won't see that anywhere. In fact, you'll see all the same scores. You'll see all the same teams, all the same roundups. You won't see anything different. They all do the same thing. I don't understand why. But just seeing this, you realize there's a whole other world out there. All kinds of other things are going on, and we're not paying any attention to it. There was the Tour de Spain. Have we even heard of the Tour de Spain? Heard
no.
of the Tour de France? Yeah, but not the Tour de Spain. That took place. A lot of people riding bikes over there.
Yeah, I think it's true what you're saying. It's so refreshing to hear because there's these institutions that they really are a force, and they have a lot of spectators, and I'm sure you see it at all levels here at Stony Brook, of course, and in a lot of places. There's that mass appeal and mass... spectacle that attracts paying visitors and all of that, and it has a certain appeal, of course, but there are so many different types of events and competitions and a lot of individual stuff that isn't often so much like large teams with lots of reserve teams and other things like that. And you realize that it really is like training and athleticism in general is a personal thing, and it's for everyone.
I think you've described that as the difference between sports and sport.
Yeah, that is a way a mental kind of way of thinking about it. In so far as linguistics, and it truly is. It's important to. Appreciate the variety and the individual aspects of it as
well. What would happen if Channel 7, whoever's doing sports on Channel 7, just decided they were going to devote 2 minutes to this whole judo championship thing?
Sure.
Would they lose all of their viewers? Or maybe their viewers would come to them because they cover something different than all the other channels. But instead, they all do the same thing. And this holds true not only for sports, but for news, for everything. In fact, they even do it at the same time. If you're ever unfortunate enough to be up in the morning when all the morning shows are on, mm-hmm. you can actually set your watch to every single channel showing the weather at the same time. I don't understand this level of competition. I don't get it because it doesn't seem like they're doing anything different from each other.
Yes, I think words like consolidation and homogeneity, things mm-hmm. being the same and bland and socially acceptable even comes to mind.
There is not any level of society where that cannot be true. Even in the alternative cultures, there's this sameness sometimes that takes over, and it's so annoying and scary, and it's just... If you find yourself, whenever you're in a group, always being the person that's arguing with the group, then you're doing something right. That's how I look at it. And I tend to find myself in that position a lot. Okay, I don't want to be fighting with the listeners, though, because the listeners
Continue.
Want us to talk about other stories. And hopefully we'll take some phone calls, too.
Yes, I'm here.
In fact, we are going to take phone calls
ready.
Because
I'll get the phone ready. Yes.
I think we made the delay system sound better. We're going to try that a little bit later on.
Yes.
So those of you with your dialing fingers, get them ready. 631-632-6901. Not now. Not now.
Not right now.
No,
please.
Not now. No. Call later when we ask you to call. All right. Did you hear about this, Kyle? There was you saw like the rocket, the SpaceX thing that blew up in Texas.
You directed me. You showed me you said something. There was like an accident. I think you showed me a clip of something like that. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Somebody was recording it from someplace, and this rocket went up, and it didn't do well, and they it self-destructed up in the air, and it was kind of spectacular, but it did what it was supposed to do. Nobody was hurt. But something else happened. I don't know if you heard about this. In Kodiak, which I believe is in Alaska. Am I right?
Sounds like it, yeah.
All right. They have a launch complex there. And yesterday, a rocket launch was aborted at the site. This rocket was carrying And this is what I consider to be the interesting part of the story, carrying an advanced hypersonic weapon. Now,
excuse me?
Yeah.
What?
Advanced hypersonic weapon. Okay, I'll read what happened. It's basically a glider that once it's launched from a rocket, it flies a non-ballistic trajectory to its target. Now, this flight was terminated less than 4 seconds after the launch, and it was controlled remotely, so no people were in the buildings. But if you can find a photo of what happened, you'll see that the buildings were hurt pretty badly. There's all kinds of damage to the launch pad. It was a big explosion. Basically, this fiery end short-circuited the second test of this hypersonic glider designed to fly so fast it can reach anywhere on the globe in about an hour. Yeah. The test target was the U.S. missile facility on Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands, about 4,000 miles away. So somebody said something they didn't like over there, and they were going to... No, they were just testing it. They were going to catch it harmlessly, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This hypersonic weapon kind of scares me, you know? 1 hour, that's all the whole world has if we decide to either go insane or get angry at them. And if we have this, then others will have it as well, and this is what the reality is going to be in the future.
Yes, but having this striking ability will allow us to prevent that, because we can get to the escalation first.
Uh-huh.
Right? Isn't that the logic?
You believe that we will always make the right decision. Yeah, well, that's a good way, I guess, to get through the days, is to assume that will happen, but...
I'm being facetious.
Oh, are you? I didn't know. I'm being sarcastic. Unlike a ballistic missile, which goes up by rocket power and falls back to Earth by gravity in a predictable arc, this weapon is supposed to glide from the upper atmosphere to its ground target carrying conventional explosives, withstanding the intense heat and complex atmospheric physics of hypersonic flight up to 5 times the speed of sound. And this is what gets me. In the post-9/11 world... It's supposed to offer U.S. commanders a high-speed alternative to much slower long-range attacks on targets by jets, cruise missiles, or bombers. Because who wants to wait a couple hours to blow up your target? Let's do it right away and ask questions later.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Something to follow in these post-modern times here.
Well, you better have a hypersonic attention span to follow that, because it's going pretty fast. And
indeed, yeah.
But it blew up yesterday, so they won't be doing that for a while.
All right, we'll revisit that, I'm sure.
News from Kodiak. All right, did you see the video? Moving over to the Ferguson story, which we talked about at length last week. The story about this Missouri cop who was involved in maintaining security. I think even more than the story itself now, the story of the shooting of an unarmed black teenager in the streets, is the story of how the police there reacted to it. The militarization of police is something that everybody's talking about now. The fact that they have tanks, they have all kinds of military gear that they use against people, and they're not trained. The picture of these cops dressed up like this, pointing guns directly at people, something the military is trained not to do, really shocked people, and hopefully will lead to this not happening and those weapons that they were given taken back, because it's just simply insane, and that's not anything that we want or need. But one of the cops involved in all that is now on administrative leave, because of a video that that surfaced. His name is Dan Page. He's with the St. Louis County Police Department. He actually was on TV. He was pushing back CNN's Don Lemon at one point, telling him not to go any further or whatever. But the video, though, that has gotten him into trouble basically has to do with him talking for about an hour to something known as an Oath Keepers group. Oath Keepers, they call themselves a nonpartisan association of current and formerly serving military, police, and first responders who pledge to fulfill the oath all military and police take to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, the president of the Oath Keepers St. Louis St. Charles chapter, Dwayne Weed, oh boy, that's a tough name to say, Dwayne Weed is really his name. He said that this cop was a guest speaker, not a member of the group. In his rambling remarks on the video, Page talks about what he describes as a draft replacement for the U.S. Constitution, the four sodomites on the Supreme Court, and a visit to Kenya to our undocumented president's home. He refers to Barack Obama as that illegal alien who claims to be our president. He frequently references violence, including non-combat tours in the Army, during which he did my fair share of killing. Speaking about Muslims, he says pointedly, they will kill you. On domestic disputes, he says, you don't like each other that much, just kill each other and get it over with. Problem solved, get it done. On urban violence, he weighed in and said, when the inner cities start to ignite, people are going to start killing people they don't like. And lastly, I personally believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, but I'm also a killer. I've killed a lot, and if I need to, I will kill a whole bunch more. If you don't want to get killed, don't show up in front of me. These are the kinds of people that are being hired to be cops around this country. And this, my friends, is the problem. Thank God for YouTube for finding this particular video that this moron decided to post. But wow, you see what the problem might be now. You see how there could be issues involving assumptions being made and the use of force where it completely is not necessary.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, like you said, assumptions. People, reacting. And then, like, not the attitude of, like, well, we've got this equipment, so we have the right to do and to act the way we want. Instead of the military, like, I think, perspective of having a bit more reverence of the use of these types of like safety and protective gear glorified and into more or less weaponry, and I think the excitement of these forces getting a lot of gear and things that they can basically use in their communities is a bit much of a thrill without instruction, without like mm-hmm. some context. I'm sure there's some training, like, and stuff involved a little.
Same thing, same mentality when people collect guns.
Yeah.
They're cool toys to have. They want to have a collection, but these police departments, they're collecting tanks and all kinds of other things that are really beyond the scope of their job, but they're having a lot of fun with it. I don't blame them for having fun, but you know what? You got an important job to do. You've got a serious job to do. And you're not doing it. In fact, you're doing a very bad job of it. The amount of people killed by cops in this country dwarfs, by percentage, virtually any other country that I've been able to see. And there's a reason for that. It's lack of training. It's overabundance and exposure to weaponry. And it's not getting better. We have to change this. We have to, I think, kind of draw up a constitution between the people and the police. Police, I think, you know, part of the constitution in my eyes would be the police have to represent the community. You can't have a situation where a community is 75% black and the police force is 96% white. I don't like to point to color and judge people based on that, but it does have to be somewhat in the same ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, when you have a situation like that, it clearly isn't. And that alone leads to antagonism. On both sides, the police start seeing the people in the crowd as nothing but problems, and the people, the populace, see the police as the enemy and a source of all kinds of misery. That has to change. Weaponry has to come down a few notches. Shooting should never happen unless there is absolutely no alternative. And if you don't know the difference, then being a cop is not in your future. You know, you have to be able to, if we're going to say these guys are taking all these risks and putting their lives on the line, they have to actually do that. They can't shoot somebody because they're 3 feet away. And if they get to be closer, their lives might be in danger. That's not putting your life on the line. That's protecting your life against anyone else. And, you know, anyone can do that. You guys are supposed to be a few steps above that. But continuing.
Mm-hmm.
With a couple of Ferguson things, because there's something else I want to get to that I think is more important locally. There's concern about the prosecutor in the Michael Brown case. And of course, you know, why wouldn't you be concerned about that? I see all kinds of arguments that, he's going to be fair. He's going to be, you know, he's a good prosecutor. If you watch any cop show, all right, ever made, you will see that the DAs and the prosecutors are with the cops all the time. Why? Because the cops arrest people. The prosecutors are the ones who charge those same people. Very rare that the cops are the people that are being charged. Therefore, it tends to be that prosecutors, district attorneys, and cops and detectives all hang out together and are friends. Sometimes they even get married. I saw that once on the cop show. All right. So, yeah, it's quite possible that he will not be fair. He will be biased. And that needs to be looked at seriously. And to assume that that won't happen, that's being really naive. How could it not happen? We saw a demonstration for the in support of the cop who did the shooting. That was kind of interesting, wasn't it? It was in St. Louis, I believe. About 100 people showed up, all white as far as I could tell. I mean, you know, not to judge by color, but I think that does say something. That does say that maybe you're kind of out of touch with what's going on. They've raised more money than the donations for Michael Brown. Not really that much of a surprise. Obviously, this guy is going to need the donations if he has if a case is brought against him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It kind of disturbed me, just the blind faith that this guy is right without knowing any facts. Whereas if somebody you know is shot down, unarmed in the street, you have a justifiable grievance based just on that. This is something you don't know yet. You don't know what happened. You haven't heard anything other than what people are assuming went through his head. So I think he doesn't need donations. I think the police force is going to take care of that by default. But I just was a little disturbed with how it's assumed that those crowds of people are in the wrong, that they're nothing but trouble. It also it bugs me, you know, Al Sharpton is many things, but almost every white person I know hates him. And I don't know why. Do you get that?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess he's annoying. He pops up in places where you don't want him. But you know what? He pops up because something bad has happened. Yeah. And yeah, he's not there when a white person kills a white person.
Yeah.
Probably because that's covered by so many other groups of people, by so many other institutions.
It's not a great way to leverage his persona, and he can lend to a lot of other issues and really ties the issues together, and he's consistent and persistent, if anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he's a good speaker, too. And if you listen to him, what is it you disagree with that he's saying? Ask yourself that. You know, I like to know from listeners and from anyone else, what is it about this guy that disturbs you so much? I think he's saying things that you don't want to hear, saying things that might make you realize that it's not all as simple as you thought it was. I mean, he's no Martin Luther King, and there is that time, you know, everyone's going to bring up the Tawana Verley case where he lied. Well, actually, he didn't lie. Tawana Verley lied, and I think he was brought into the case. Yeah, that was unfortunate, but okay, there are a lot of other cases where he was saying exactly the right thing. And I think that needs to be recognized. I think he's owed a lot of respect for giving a voice to the voiceless. That sort of thing is important.
I don't know much about that case, but yeah, it's agreed.
So anyway, okay, now to bring it locally. This is something I'm not sure you know about, Kyle, because this has been going on the last few weeks. You've heard about all these, do you know the KKK actually has a chapter around here someplace?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, apparently people out in the Hamptons, of all places, Hampton Bays, they've been getting recruitment pamphlets vowing to people are vowing to rally against the group if more of them appear. But Southampton Town Police this weekend cited at least 4 complaints from residents who received the pamphlets in the past month. They advertised the Loyal White Knights, a KKK branch based in North Carolina, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is an Alabama-based organization that tracks hate groups. We're hoping and praying this is an isolated little phenomenon by a small group of people who are living in the past, said one resident. The Knight's Grand Dragon says he's unaware of the Hampton Bays effort, but noted the community hosts one of 3 New York chapters. And get this, he says, everybody's fed up with immigration. That's why we have so many people from New York calling right now. It's incredible. Yeah, fed up with immigration. And that's what I want to address, is all these people who are fed up with immigration, you know, fed up with all these people coming into our country. You don't see it when you're acting like a bigot. You don't recognize it. But I got to tell you, there are a lot of people around here acting like bigots. and expressing racism of various sorts and ultra-nationalism and utter hatred. You've heard about these kids that have been sent over the border unattended. It's an incredible story. Kids from Central America that their parents are so desperate to give them a better life that they send them without the parents, or they're coming maybe to join the parents or something that is incredibly scary. Little kids being sent with strangers across the border. I mean, we can't even imagine something like that. So a bunch of them are here in this country because they were caught at the border, and here they are in America. And while they're trying to figure out what to do with them, they need to be taken care of. Would anybody deny that? Yes, people would deny that. There's a church out here in Comac that thought it would step up and give them a temporary home. Now, these are kids aged 4 to 17. I just want to read a little bit of this story because it's truly shocking. A Lutheran church in Comac may host some of the tens of thousands of immigrant children. Now, I think some people right away read that as tens of thousands of children are going to be in a Lutheran church in Comac. No, that's not the story. They may host some of the tens of thousands of immigrant children illegally crossing the United States border with Mexico. Yeah, illegally. 4-year-old broke the law. Yeah, it's just the start of a long life of crime, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But they've done this mainly to reunite with family here. That's according to the church's pastor. The financially troubled Holy Cross Lutheran Church had to cancel a meeting after outraged neighbors packed the church to protest the proposal. Community opposition was being fueled by misinformation about the proposal. And Reverend Dennis Walker said he hopes people will reconsider in a more rational light. This is minimal impact on the community with substantial benefits such as jobs for workers who would remodel the building to create the living quarters. About 40 children, 36 or so, between the ages of 4 and 17, would be housed at the church at any one time, and they'd be there for anywhere from 7 to 30 days. They'd be in transit from federal immigration detention facilities. Is that a more appropriate place for kids to be? A federal immigration detention center. They'd be transported to relatives in the New York area and would only leave the facility for medical appointments or other important issues. That's basically the facts of the story. Now, then there was a public meeting. This was a couple of weeks ago. And it was concerning this proposal. And as you might have guessed, so many people turned out. So many people were outraged. Listen to what this guy says. Steve Valual, a dentist. We don't want them. We're not going to tolerate them. I'll tell you, Steve, you were my dentist. You would not be my dentist any longer after seeing a hateful remark like that. If you're seeing this outrage, said Laura Tobia, why don't you just drop it and think of another solution? There are so many comments like this. People are basically afraid. I'm trying to find one in particular here. It's scary, said Cheryl Cambria. I have 2 little kids. Who's to say my house is going to be safe?
Really?
Yeah. And you know, the Cheryl Cambria, she's a special education teacher at Lindenhurst High School. I'm not trying to drop her docs or anything like that, but she should know better than to say something stupid like that. And it's just, these are our neighbors. These are people right here. These are people who can actually get the signal of this radio station, so you know how close they are.
Right, right, right.
It's unbelievable, the hatred and the fear and the ignorance.
Misplaced.
Can I read you an editorial from Newsday, which actually seems to get it?
Mm-hmm.
Just when did children in need begin to spark such fear and outrage? The Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Comac has a preliminary plan to host as many as 40 kids ages 4 through 17 who have entered the country illegally, fleeing problems in their Central American homelands. The church says it would generally house the children for 7 to 30 days while they're in transit to the custody of family members. In fact, they seem to be cutting and pasting from their story. The youths would leave church grounds only for medical appointments or other crucial reasons. Even with those restrictions, the reaction from community members has been furious. A recent meeting on the subject was canceled because so many people packed the church, nestled in a residential neighborhood near a shopping center just off Jericho Turnpike, to protest. You know, a shopping center would bring more threat to your lifestyle than these kids, and I don't think they'd be protesting that nearly as much. This reaction is not just about feelings towards immigrants. Some Commack residents have also battled a homeless shelter. And the feelings aren't specific to Commack. When word leaked that a former Grumman plant in Bethpage was on a list of potential shelters for these children, some politicians and community members were up in arms. On the bright side, Mercy First, which is a long-established social services agency, has been able to house some of these children in Syosset with little controversy. These kids need help. They're not going to attend local schools or drive down property values or unleash a crime wave. The Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement says of the program, ORR pays for and provides all services for the children while they are in care at a shelter. This includes providing food, clothing, education, medical screening, and any needed medical care to the children. Children spend fewer than 35 days on average at the shelters and do not integrate into the local community. They remain under staff supervision at all times. The worst thing these children might do, it seems, is expose a cringing hatefulness among us. Bravo.
Good way to put it there. Wow.
Generated hundreds and hundreds of comments on the Newsday website. Some of these I just can't read. But I will. This is not a refugee crisis. This is a blatant attempt of a foreign nation who encourages mass breed habits for children they cannot afford. Newsday will never understand, says another comment. Throw them all out. It's just so ugly, so hateful. It's, and you know, there's a real opportunity here to reach out to these kids, learn something about their culture, learn something about your own culture as a result, make some friends that'll last a lifetime, and see yourself as lucky to be in a situation where you can actually help somebody who is in an awful situation. Do you think some 4-year-old, some 6-year-old, some 10-year-old wants to be here? They'd rather be with their family. They'd rather be home. They're scared. They're in a foreign country, for God's sake. And to see mobs of people protesting against them even being there, imagine what that says about who we are. And imagine the effect that's going to have on them throughout the rest of their lives. It's disgusting. And I'll say right now, I will not buy anything out of Commack until I see something positive come out of that place.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's just awful, and it's so common. So totally common these days. I mean, how many refugees and people are displaced and moving across borders in other parts of the world?
You know, we're all outraged. We're all outraged by that journalist who had his head cut off, and it's a horrible thing. But that happens all the time in these countries with the drug cartels. It's a common way that revenge is meted out. And kids are they're not immune to this. And they see this, and they get sucked into it. And this is an opportunity for them to get something better. And what, we have too many people coming into this country? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Let me tell you something. The amount of people who immigrate to this country from Cuba, and this is all legal immigration, is about a third that of Mexico. Mexico has a population 10 times that of Cuba. So something is a little off there. You know, nobody's complaining about too many Cubans in this country. Nobody's complaining about too many Asians. Well, I guess there are people complaining about too many Asians. You have to search harder, though, to find that particular level of hatred. But
yeah,
it's out there. The thing is, people point to the country that's right next door as the problem. And they're right next door. So obviously there's going to be a bit of a difference. But a lot of these kids aren't even from Mexico. They're from other countries that don't even register on the scale. You know, and they're all looking for escape from a horrible life. And when do we become so closed off to that? Most of us are here because our ancestors did just that. And they did not meet they did meet hatred, but not this kind of hatred. So it's really pretty disgusting.
And what if they were Canadian children?
Oh, that wouldn't be a problem, would it?
Not at all. Thousands of French speaking or, you know, I mean, what the heck?
Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Commack, I don't care if you're religious or not, those guys deserve a lot of support for standing up to this nonsense. Of course, it's not going to happen now. I wouldn't advise bringing kids into that neighborhood with that kind of hostile environment. But boy, I wish some of those people would emigrate someplace else, you know?
Yeah.
You could be used, your level of hatred could be used in a lot of places right now. Eastern Ukraine, the Mideast, you know, there's so many places where your words can actually inspire a lot of people to do some real damage.
Just swim there. Just swim there.
I don't know the map enough to know how to. All right. Hey, you want to take some phone calls? I'm sure I've riled up the audience enough.
Yeah, so if I...
I'm going to go over there and help you if you give out the information.
All these go to audition. That goes. If I give out the phone number, 631-632-6901 is the phone number. We've got a couple calls on the line. And we're going to go into...
I said I'd take care of it for you. You just banter on for a minute.
Yes. And we're going to take your calls tonight on any matter of subject. And we've hopefully improved some of the equipment around here. And we've got a lot of topics. If you want to talk about community radio, if you want to talk about some of the topics we covered tonight.
This is Robert Klein speaking to you from WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. Get me out of here.
And if you would like to raise an issue that you haven't heard tonight, call this number, 631-632-6901. Here is our first call. WSB, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Kyle. This is Rose. I've called you and Emmanuel a few times. I just want to let you know I'm listening to your show, and as I always do, and I don't really want to call because I just want to listen, but I just want you to know I'm out here, and as I'm sure a lot of other people are, and what Emmanuel just read, I know this goes on, but every time I hear it, it's just eating away at me. I mean, between immigration and the way, you know, Comac, the way people are talking about these kids, Gaza, Ferguson, it's all really getting to me, and it's very upsetting, but I'm glad you put it out there because people need to hear it. People need to hear how stupid they sound.
Yeah, they need to fight back too, Rose. They need to actually stand up and say, this does not represent us. I want to see people in Comac stand up and say, these meatheads don't represent how I feel or how my neighborhood feels.
Yeah, I wish I would have known. I would have had a freaking counter protest with these goddamn people. I'm
sorry.
Well,
it's not too late. It's not too late. I mean, it's too late for these kids, obviously, but it's not too late to outshout these idiots.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being out there, and I'm listening.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Rose. And we'll take another caller. Hello, you're on WUSB? Not that line. Hello, you're on WUSB?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hi there. Could you turn your radio down?
Yes, I did. I apologize.
Yeah, great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Stony Brook.
Oh, fantastic. And did you have a comment or question or
I have a comment in regards to the immigration scenario. I don't think anybody who is complaining about it is against helping little children. I think everybody's for that.
Uh-huh.
The issue is, for me, for example, my parents immigrated here from Israel when I was two. They didn't just ship me over by myself, you know, to some relative when I was 4 years old and then come here illegally and sneak me in. They had to wait 8 years to get their paperwork.
Yeah, but I bet you weren't worried about falling into a drug cartel in that time. I bet you weren't living in squalor. A lot of these kids are. It's not something I think any of them want to do. It's not their dream. It's a necessity.
It's survival. The kids and the adults. You know, the Long Islanders are upset at the whole process. You know, you do it the right way. You know, nobody has a problem with immigrants. But just do it the right way.
Well, okay.
I had to wait 8 years to get my citizenship.
Yeah, but let me tell you what the right way involves. The right way involves a lot of money and a lot of paying off, and most of these people do not have those resources. If you know, I just wish everybody who was at that meeting can experience what it's like to actually live in one of those countries and say to yourself, how in God's name would I ever get myself to the United States? The only way, the only realistic way for anybody who is not wealthy would be to sneak across the border. And I dare say that many of us smart people that have ambitions in life would be the first ones to try that to make a better life for ourselves.
Out of survival.
You know, it's a catch-22, because then, you know, you put people in the scenario where people that who pay their taxes are paying for these people who aren't paying taxes and so forth.
How much do you really think that's costing you? I mean, people are upset by that, but it's a very nebulous concept. In this particular case, it wasn't costing them anything. It was something that was going to benefit the community. And you know, you say that people want to take care of kids. Well, these are kids. These are kids that really need taken care of. Yeah, they have the wrong nationality. Is that really enough to refuse to take care of them?
In a realistic scenario, though, I mean, these are kids, though. We need to blame the parents. Why are they sending their kids by themselves, unaccompanied, on some sort of route of some sort, some Oregon trail from South America, it's just unnecessary. It's unnecessary.
If they even have
the welfare of your children, and if you do that in America, I'm pretty sure you're going to go to jail.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of them would prefer to be in jail in America than living the lives they're living there. That's something that needs to be looked at.
I'm sorry, cutting in. My father
was
a Navy SEAL in Vietnam. Okay, they should fight for our country, and then we then earn their rights the way my father earned the very blanket of freedom. I'm sorry for cursing, but if you go to a VA hospital, it is ridiculous. And these people fought for our lives. These children are from other countries. Let them earn it. That's all we're saying. They have to earn it. I'm five-generation American here. Five generations of paying taxes. And my voice and my father in Vietnam fought and earned it, as did my uncles and my cousins. And these children are coming here. They can earn it by...
Okay, but you're not going to put a four-year-old in the Army, are you? I think these kids will earn it.
Yeah.
I think they will love this country more than anybody born here if this country saves their lives.
They come here and become criminals, but let them join the Marine Corps where they can get an education and learn. They come here and they learn, and they'll get thrown into the jail system, and they'll learn to become criminals. If it's going to be done, it has to be done the right way, and it has to be done with rules and regulations, and that is the bottom line.
Okay, these are children. You realize that. They're between 4 and 17. You should be speaking to adults on that level.
Parents need to earn it. They should fight in a war. Earn your right to be an American. Now, I'm a patriotic person. My father was a veteran, a Navy SEAL, in Vietnam. Won a Purple Heart, okay? Let these people earn their right to be here the way my father
there
did.
There are other ways to earn your Americanship besides fighting in wars. I hope you realize that.
These people shouldn't have these children.
Them all.
Okay.
Should we get in China and become like communists now and say, population control? These are adults deciding to have a child and send their child here. Let these adults then take their responsibility and earn rights the way my family for five generations earned rights.
All right, listen, I'd love to keep this conversation going, but we're out of time. Keep your eyes on the road, and I'm sure we'll talk later.
Bless you, and have a good one, guys. Love your show. Keep doing what you're doing. Have a good one.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
That was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why we're here at WSB Community Radio Station.
Well, okay, yeah, it's a spirited conversation, but, boy, you know, I just don't think, I think we're talking about different things here. That caller was trying to talk about the entire immigration policy. I'm talking about taking care of some scared kids that are in this country, yeah, illegally, wow, but they're kids, and we're supposed to be a better place than that. I want to go out with something.
It's not playing yet, is it? It could be.
It shouldn't be because it starts with vocals and then it'll mess everything up.
I'm ready when you are.
Boogie Down Productions.
Of course.
Something about the different classes of racism, because it's all around us. And we fall into it very easily. We don't see it.
Good night, everyone.
I've been taught to respect my elders and behave. Even if when they were young, they sold slaves. Truth and understanding is what I crave in the land of the thief, home of the slave. Turn your page to a brief demonstration. It's now in 90, it's strictly information I'm giving. Teaching on a regular basis. Today's lecture is about the racist. We're not out to exaggerate or diss them, but show the symptoms and facts of racism. Understand, the racists ain't equal. There's about five different types of racist people. First of the five different types of cases is the individual brought up racist. Here you have young men and women brought up in the great white way opinion. This opinion introduced by the parent to the civilized becomes transparent. A civilized man could look through the faces, make the analysis and see the racist. Number two case, which all must hear, is the individual racist out of fear. Here you have people that fear the African and conjure up new ways of trapping them. Number three is the unconscious racist. Not knowing they're racist, they invade your spaces. They say, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot. Yet they allow it to go on and won't admit it. Number four is the money racist. The one that used the topics of sheer economics. They say, Owning a business isn't for the black man. He don't want that, yet they went and took his land. Damn, that's like a rock in a hard place. You don't have your land, yet this ain't your space. America was built by every other race except the European. It runs this place. What a waste. America's doomed to be overthrown by the righteous real soon. But last but not least, racial prejudice is the black man speaking out of ignorance. Whitey this and Ching Chow that. It's not how the intelligent man acts. You can't blame the whole white race for slavery, cause this ain't the case. A large sum of white people died with blacks, trying hard to fight racial attacks. The media wants you to think that no whites really fought and died for civil rights. But once we have a true sense of history, you'll see this